Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of February, 2016. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Daryl Durkles. He's at AgriVisor out of Bloomington, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana, that's the ethanol plant, will join us to take a look at the cash grain market. And we'll discuss the weather forecast, too, with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated. Incorporated in Kansas City, and it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here the way the numbers finished up in Chicago. March contract was down, or rather up 4.25 cents in the corn at $3.67 1/4. The May at 371.5, 3 3/4 higher. July at 376, up 3.5 cents. In December corn for the day, $3.89, up 3 1/4 cents. Soy complex, March beans now up 2 3/4, $8.82 1/2. The May at 885 1/4, 2 3/4 higher. July at 889 1/2, up 2 1/4. And November beans, $8.92 3/4, 1 3/4 higher. Bean meal March contract, $2.36.60, down $1.20. Bean oil, 38 cents higher at $31.99. Wheat futures, soft red March contract, $4.68 1/2, up 4 1/4. July at $4.80 1/4, 6 1/4 higher. And the July hard red at $4.73 1/4. That's up 2 3/4 cents. Live cattle futures still trading. February contract at $133.62 1/2, 67 1/2 cents higher for the afternoon. The April at $133.02 1/2, up 90 cents. March feeders up $1.15 at $1.55 65 cents. And lean hogs at the April contract, $71.15. They're $1 higher. Just a reminder that on February the 29th, or let's just go with the beginning of March because it'll be easy to remember, the livestock futures will begin to trade a bit later, or begin to stop trading a bit later in the afternoon, I believe at 1:05 p.m. So they'll be down to about a 4.5 hour trading session. You'll want to watch that, and we'll have closes and settlement prices for you during the closing market report at that time. You're listening, of course, to Illinois Public Media. Don't forget to buy your tickets for the all-day agricultural outlook that's coming up on the 8th day of March over at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana. Tickets are just $30. You can buy them now at willag.org.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, for 100 years offering financial products and services specifically for the agricultural industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Let's take a look at some of the outside markets as they're trading at this hour. The energies and the crude oil, March contract at $30.59 a barrel. It's $1.55 higher. Ethanol futures are a penny and a half higher at $1.39 1/2. The wholesale price of gasoline today at $1.06 is 3 1/2 cents higher. Heating oil at $1.08 1/2. That's up 5 8/10 cents. Natural gas for the day at $1.94 1/2 is 4 2/10 cents higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 16,406, up 275 points. The U.S. dollar is down 0.07 at 96.80. And the gold futures for the afternoon are trading at $1,208.50. They're up 25 cents for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. Mostly cloudy, high of 36 degrees today. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 27. Winds will be calm out of the southeast at 5 to 9 this evening. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, high of 45 tomorrow. Breezy south-southeast winds at 10 to 15. They'll increase through the afternoon, 17 to 20 on the steady. Winds gusting as high as 30 miles an hour on Thursday afternoon. And then Thursday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 43. Again, a little breezy out there. South winds at 21 to 24 and gusting to 33. Friday, mostly sunny, a high near 65 degrees. Breezy with a west-southwest wind at 20 to 26 miles an hour. And Friday night, mostly clear with a low of just 39. More on the bottom of the half hour and we get to the weather forecast. We'll talk with Drew Lerner. He's with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the 17th day of February. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Dale Durkles is here. He's with AgriVisor out of Bloomington to take a look at the marketplace. Hey, Dale, thanks so much for being with us and filling in again this afternoon. I do appreciate that. Why don't you take a look at the trade for the day and tell me what the major items moving the market might have been.
You know, really the big story today, and it was really the big story yesterday, and it goes back into the crude oil market itself. And over the weekend, we had Saudi Arabia, Russia, Venezuela, Qatar agree to freeze output of crude oil. There was some uncertainty yesterday about how Iran may fit into this mix in here and could offset part of that. And so the crude oil ended up a little bit lower on the end of trade yesterday after being strong on last Thursday and Friday. But today we came in, put another buck and a half on it again, basically with rumors and stories out of Iran that they too would freeze their output. So, you know, you're seeing possibly a sentiment shift here in the energy sector. And I think that's really the bigger story, because the gains we had there, you look at the equity market, has gotten strength. We're up about 280 in the Dow. We're seeing the meats up, but we're seeing the grains up as well at this point. So I think it's this outside influence. It's a sentiment change going on. And it doesn't say we're going to have high prices come at us right away. But it does help ensure, I think, that maybe we finally put a low behind.
What are the next steps you look for out of the Mideast to ensure that this is going to go as a transition from the we're going to run this as fast and hard as we can to try to put American shale, which I think is what it was most people believe was aimed at, out of business, or at least slow them down so we get market share to the point that...
I think part of this was also aimed at Russia, too. And so I think, you know, they're being involved in this move to freeze output levels at this point, you know, really is probably as important as maybe seeing some changes here in the U.S. itself. And, you know, we stopped drilling new wells here in the U.S. for the most part, you know, and yeah, the ones that are there, you know, generally are still producing oil because, you know, as long as you're covering your variable costs, you're still going to run a well and still going to pump. But I think it's going to be now how the market manages to absorb this over time. We know we've got a lot of inventory around the world, some of it on boat, some of it has been actually moving into the U.S. to fill up excess space here. But it may be how we actually see some of this, because recently we were talking about super storage, in other words, storing oil on water in super tankers, which had not happened to a great degree. So if that doesn't happen, it's going to tend to say we're finally finding some kind of an equilibrium. And that's really what we needed to find, was an equilibrium.
So when we find this space, what does it mean for the grains, oil seeds, across the planet?
Well, because oil is such a crucial ingredient across the board anywhere economically, you know, if you start taking away the possibility of seeing ever lower prices for energy, at least it brings a sense of stability to people's production costs. And also, it brings a sense of stability to price structure, because when you're at the bottom of a market, much like when you're at the top of a market, the top, it's much more exaggerated because there's so much more volatility and nervousness. But the big thing you always have to change is psychology. And once you change your psychology, you bring stability even at the low end of the range. Now, because prices don't move up out of the lows, because they aren't nearly as volatile down into lows, you know, we aren't going to see grain prices go back to moderately attractive levels right away, but it does suggest, you know, the downside risk is starting to become much more remote, depending on what kind of crops we produce this coming year.
For producers, will this be a good sign as we move through the February crop insurance setting month?
Well, it's really not going to do much, because we're so far through it right now, and, you know, we've got, a little less than half the month yet to go to get those February insurance prices established. So what you're looking at today is probably going to be pretty apropos as to where those final guarantees will be, and you're talking 390 D's corn and November beans are at $8.93 here on the coast today. I don't suppose we're going to see prices a whole lot different than those for the insurance guarantee. So it is what it is going forward. And they're going to be low prices this year, much lower than, quite a bit lower than last year. Corn's going to be off about 30 cents. It looks like beans are going to be something like, you know, about 70 or 80 cents lower.
What do you think about the livestock market at this time?
You know, the one thing that I've been happy to see over the course of the last 4 to 6 weeks has been the subsidence in the price of wholesale beef, and it's steadily come lower. This being Lenten season, demand in olden years used to tend to be a little bit softer because of the lack of meat demand on a Friday. We don't have that so much anymore, but Lent still is a drag as far as meat demand itself is concerned. We don't see quite as much featuring by the retailers, etc. The beef price coming down, and it's coming down relative to pork and poultry too, I think puts the beef really in much better stead as we move into that cookout season on into post-Easter. So cattle prices aren't going to go anywhere right away. We did have some bids out here today in the 131 area. I think that's probably where we're going to end up trading, maybe 132, 133. Hog prices, the bases are in the mid-60s right now. I don't think they move a long way, but demand will pick up. And also, once we get into mid-April and beyond, the number of hogs entering the pipeline, and because weights are lower, the amount of pork entering the pipeline seasonally starts to decline quite a bit faster. So I think we're really going to see steady markets for the next couple of weeks with the promise of higher markets after Easter.
Hey, thanks so much.
All right.
That is Dale Durkles. He's with AgriVisor out of Bloomington, Illinois. Joins us on this closing market report for Wednesday afternoon. It is the 17th day of February. We did talk a little bit about crop insurance and the crop insurance setting month of February. And if you're interested in what that really means maybe for your farm, you should visit the FarmDoc website, and then FarmDoc Daily, that is. And then over on the right-hand side of the page, you'll find some tools that you can use, or at least a link to them. Again, it's FarmDoc. daily.illinois.edu. Over on the right-hand side of the page, hit the link to the crop insurance tools, and you'll find a premium calculator, a payment evaluator, and a crop insurance decision tool. Those first two calculators are actually on the back-end side supplied by NCSA, or the National Center for Supercomputing Applications. So if you just want to tell folks that you've been using the supercomputer on your farm, well, you can do that. It's actually a server at NCSA, but still, the back end really works quickly, and it's updated, I think, daily now with the prices, for the most part, that are coming off of the CME Group in Chicago, so you can really see how price changes day to day may impact what that crop insurance looks like. So you can do that on the FarmDoc Daily website. It's farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Another website to head to is our willag.org. That's willag.org website. Two items of interest there. Of course, you should purchase your tickets for All Day Ag Outlook. It's not very far away now, and you need to get those tickets soon. They're just $30. You can buy them online at willag.org or by dialing this number, 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065. For the $30, you'll get a dozen of our regular analysts to talk to. We'll have Greg Johnson, Aaron Curtis, Matt Bennett, Chuck Shelby, Ellen Dearden, Bill Gentry, Pete Manhart, Bill Mayer, Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, Dan Zwicker, and Mike Zuzulo all in the house, and then some extras. Eric Snodgrass from AgriBulletin will be there to take up the weather forecast, and we'll also discuss how to control production costs for the year with Emerson Nafziger, Gary Schnitke, and Brian Young. So it should be a great day over at the Beef House. That $30 buys you a roll in the morning, some coffee, the Beef House lunch, and a whole day of looking forward at this next growing season. So you can find that online at willag.org or buy your $30 ticket at 800-898-1065. And while you're online at willag.org, you might, if you're interested in how the Illinois state budget crisis is impacting local government, or you know somebody involved in local government, Have them go there and sign up for a U of I Extension webinar that will be put on by Fred Gertz tomorrow between noon and 1, so you don't have to leave your office. You just are right there on a web page. But you go to willag.org. I found that to be the easiest place to try to find a register. You'll find the Register Here button, and you can get registered for that. Fred Gertz is with the Institute of Government and Public Affairs here on campus. He'll share his analysis of how the current state budget crisis, looking both at current and future impacts on local government budgets. So you can get yourself or somebody else signed up for that. That's tomorrow from noon to 1 o'clock. And it is a webinar. Everything is right there at willag.org. In today's agricultural news, Senate Judiciary Chairman Chuck Grassley is not ruling out hearings on an Obama nominee to replace Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia, who died over the weekend. Grassley has already said publicly that the GOP should not take up the nomination of a replacement for Scalia on the U.S. Supreme Court until after the November election. However, the committee chair did not shut the door to holding hearings on a nominee.
Well, ask your question again when a nominee comes up, because I'm going to take this a step at a time. But you heard what I said over the weekend. I think it'd be very good for the Supreme Court, public's understanding, public input, if this is a very hot issue during the coming election.
When asked if a 4-4 tied court would hurt agricultural cases, including the Waters of the U.S. case or the Chesapeake Bay area, where lower courts have already ruled for and against farm interest, Grassley had this to say.
Any of the issues you brought up, we'll have a member on the Supreme Court full implement of justices by the time those cases would reach the Supreme Court, because they won't be. It's going to take a long time for them to be argued in the district court, and then. Then again to the Sixth Circuit, and then at that point to the Supreme Court.
Separately, some have suggested the battle over replacing Scalia could rip the Congress apart, destroying any newfound cooperation on the budget process and spending bills. Well, speaking of bills, Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Pat Roberts of Kansas said this week his genetically modified food labeling bill is not ready. Roberts says his bill will be bipartisan, but that what he introduces will be a chairman's mark that can be amended. Roberts, along with the committee's ranking Democrat, Debbie Stabenow, have been attempting to write bills that would stop state laws from mandating labeling of foods containing GMO ingredients, the first of which is scheduled to take effect in Vermont in July. He added that he thinks action must come quickly because of the death of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia and the conflict between Republicans and Democrats. Well, Chinese imports of soybeans have dropped sharply in the last month, that according to Pro Farmers First Thing. China imported 5.66 million metric tons of soybeans in January. That's a 38% drop from December and a 17% decline year over year. The nation's soybean buys are expected to decline further during February due to China's Lunar New Year festivities and shipping delays in Brazil. Well, ChemChina's purchase of Syngenta may bring more widespread acceptance of genetically engineered crops in China. The $43 billion deal brings Syngenta into China, the world's largest grain producer and a major grower of vegetables, oilseeds, cotton, and sugar. Syngenta's chief operating officer says that while cultivation of GM food crops remains illegal in China, there are indications the government wants to move toward adopting more use of GM technology. However, he says that China may do so in a very cautious way as it recognizes consumer uncertainty and anxiety regarding GM foods. Speaking of foods, or at least feedstuffs that can be foods, for the second time, Egypt has rejected a vessel carrying Canadian wheat because Egyptian officials found trace levels of the fungus ergot, but would not say the percentage found. The move by the quarantine authority is the latest in a series of rejections, which have caused serious concerns over Egypt's tough new quality rules and disrupted the country's massive wheat imports. Egypt is the world's largest wheat importer and is facing difficulties purchasing the grain in its import tenders since the first shipments rejected. Suppliers have refrained from making offers or added risk premiums to prices. Egypt's supply ministry says the country would allow 0.05% level of ergot, but the Agricultural Quarantines Authority has insisted on a zero-tolerance policy. And finally today, USDA has proposed a rule designed to provide Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, participants increased access to healthy foods by requiring stores that accept SNAP to stock a wider array of food choices. The agency says the 2014 Farm Bill required USDA to develop such regulations to ensure that stores that accept SNAP offer a broader variety of healthy food choices. The proposed rule would require SNAP-authorized retailers to offer a larger inventory and a variety of healthier food options. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. This is the Wednesday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined by Pete Peterson now. He's at the Anderson's Climbers facility outside of Logansport, Indiana, where they produce ethanol. Hey, thanks so much for being with us today, Pete. How's the ethanol plant running today?
Running good. Right now, we have a little bit of repair and maintenance going on, but nothing to slow us down at this point in time. And I guess so far, so good.
Probably not a lot to talk about in the marketplace, but since you said repair and maintenance, what kinds of things do you do in that process?
Oh, believe me, it's stuff that I have no idea. we put new big tanks in and add and subtract and everything else. It's just amazing, this process of what actually goes through it, to even the process going from 190 proof to 200 proof ethanol. It takes a special glass beads in vats to do that, and it all is pretty intriguing.
Why do you change from 190 to 200 or the other way around?
It's in the process. When you go up that far, the octane increases that much. It's just that little extra boost, which is quite a bit if you look at it, but it is needed in the process. And beyond that, you got to be a chemist.
And so it's just about increasing the octane. And really,
yes,
that's what you've got there, is an octane enhancer for gasoline across
exactly
the United States.
That's what it is.
Yeah. How much storage do you have on site at Climbers?
As far as for ethanol?
Well, for both, for corn coming in and then for ethanol there.
Corn right now, we are at, let's call it about 8 million. So it's pretty decent. But the ethanol, I cannot tell you. I do not know that.
Yeah, and then how do you ship the ethanol out?
Via rail and via truck. We have trucks coming in and out, and a lot goes out by rail. So it's, you know, we have local refiners that get it by truck, and then we also have we can blend ourselves here to make E85.
And then your primary refineries are where?
Northern Indiana. It's a little bit everywhere, and you know, you see a lot of mom and pop semis coming through for their own small local chain stores, but and it goes out to some of the bigger players.
You any mom and pop semis coming in, speaking of that, with corn today at all?
Yeah, we had quite a bit of corn come in. The last couple of days, we've dumped over 200 trucks. A little bit of a spark in movement because of this weekend. It's supposed to be getting into the high 50s and then some in some areas. So worries about some around bends getting a little soft. So guys don't want to cut up any more than they have to. Want to get some stuff moved.
So they're moving quickly. What are your bids for the day?
Let's see. Right now at Climbers nearby, we're at 18 over the May, putting us at 389. Delphi, we're at 15 over the March at 382. And on Delphi beans, we're at 5 under the March at 877.
Hey, thanks so much, Pete.
You bet. Thank you.
Pete Peterson is with the Anderson's Climbers facility located outside of Logansport, Indiana, where they operate an ethanol plant. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Don't forget to buy your tickets for the All-Day Ag Outlook online, willag.org.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson. Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
On this day in agricultural history in 1665, Rudolph Jacob Camimarius was born. a German botanist, he showed the existence of sexes in plants and identified the stamen and pistil as the male and female organs. In 1876, canned sardines went on sale in the U.S. for the first time. They were packed in oil. In 1959, Andrew Moyer died, an American microbiologist. He invented a method for mass-producing penicillin. While working for the U.S. Agriculture Department laboratory, he discovered a technique for antibiotic fermentation using continuous shaking of a culture broth of corn steep liquor, a byproduct of the corn starch manufacturing process, and lactose. In 2002, new regulations went into effect requiring German pig farmers to spend at least 20 seconds every day with each pig they own, 10 seconds in the morning and 10 seconds in the afternoon. And in 2008, the USDA announced what was at the time the largest beef recall in history of 143 million pounds of frozen beef from a California slaughterhouse. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. Since 1916, Farm Credit Illinois has been helping farm families succeed, providing farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing. Farm Credit Illinois joins in celebrating the rich history of Illinois agriculture.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Don't forget to buy your tickets for All Day Ag Outlook. It's over at the Beef House. That's the 8th day of March. Tickets online at willag.org or 800-898-1065. A dozen analysts and just $30. That includes the Beef House meal. Now, let's take a look at the weather forecast with Drew Lerner. He's from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Let's hop around the world. We'll finish here in the U.S., but start in South America. They've got a pretty good crop and I think pretty decent weather for their beginning of the harvest season.
Well, I think you're exactly right. Things are moving along very well. You know, a couple of weeks ago we were concerned about some dryness in Argentina, but that's definitely history. They're actually going to become a little bit too wet perhaps as we move forward through this coming week. We'll end up with some significant rains in some of the central portions of Argentina, but as far as a big bad negative impact is concerned, I don't think that will happen. It's just like what we have here in the States. Sometimes we get a little too much rain falling over a couple of weeks, but things will get cleared up as soon as we get out of that particular mode. So I think everything will be fine there. And in Brazil, it looks like a really good mix of rain and sunshine. There's some issues with some port loading delays. In Santos, which is in the city of Sao Paulo, that area has been seeing some rain and thunderstorm activity a little bit more often than desired. So there's a little bit of a slowdown in getting ships in and out of the region. But that's probably the only negative thing that I can see in Brazil.
Let's continent hop just a bit, move to Africa. We know that South Africa has suffered through drought, but that's kind of a done deal with their maize or corn crop. What about North Africa?
The North Africa, durum wheat and barley production area has been suffering from dryness for quite a while this particular season. Morocco in particular has had the biggest problem. They really didn't get all the crop planted, and what did get planted has probably experienced some withering and maybe even some loss. But here in the past few days, we did see an opportunity for some rain to fall across parts of Morocco as it kind of started to improve conditions. But starting tomorrow and going through Sunday, we'll likely see some follow-up precipitation occurring in Morocco that will help to further improve the situation. But I do think it's a little bit too late for some of the crop to respond well to it. In the meantime, Algeria, northwestern Algeria, has been a little bit too dry, so is eastern Spain. But all of these areas will have an opportunity for a little bit of precipitation over the coming week, but much, much more will be needed, I think.
And we finally come back home since we've been talking about good weather and then maybe sunshine and also some heat. We are looking at some of those things out in the areas where we grow hard red winter wheat, and that may not be the best of options at the moment.
Yeah, things out there are going to really heat up over the next 2 days in particular. We'll see 80-degree high temperatures reaching all the way up into parts of Kansas, for crying out loud. And it's only going to be a real quickie, though. We'll see the temperatures come down gradually over the weekend, but it will be warm enough to lose all of our winter hardiness in parts of Kansas, Nebraska, and Colorado. And the next time we get involved with some threatening cold, it might be a little bit different scenario for us in that region. So we'll have to watch that.
Hey, Drew, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Have a good day.
That's Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.